move into this part of our worship time together, I just wanted to highlight one of the things we sang. You know, Keith makes us sing some outrageous things sometimes. And I don't know if you noticed it this morning, but he had us repeat it. And so I think, you know, there was something behind this. But this phrase in one of the songs, "You are perfect in all of your ways." You are perfect in all of your ways. Do we believe that God is perfect in all his ways? I mean, do we really believe that God is perfect in all of his ways? In all the situations of our lives, good, bad, and indifferent, as my mother used to say, that God is perfect and that he's in charge. Even though it seems like the world is upside down to us, he's perfect in all his ways. And as we believe that, I think there's a responsibility on our parts to live differently and to respond to situations, the really crummy parts, the really horrible parts, the long-lasting parts, with a different attitude, because we believe God is perfect in all his ways. And if there was ever a time when the world needed to see people who believe that God is perfect in all his ways, I think now is the time. That's until we believe it. That's right. Go right back up here, Keith, and we'll just keep singing that song. All right. Anyway, I just thought that was really cool. And then just before Angela comes up, you know, as I just had this inspired thought this year that as we were coming into Advent and I saw the theme, "The Heart Has a Home," that the Vineyard has put out this booklet. There are still some booklets. If you haven't gotten one, they're on the tables at the entry. Rather, what a neat thing to talk about "The Heart Has a Home" and having ladies do the presentation of these four themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. And lest anyone think that having four ladies is a little bit of a frou-frou emphasis, well, you better think again, because these ladies are warriors. And I really wouldn't want to cross one of them in a dark alley, even the one I'm married to. And Angela and I just had a conversation this morning which reminded me that there is a warrior, and you better not cross her. There's not just Mama Bear, but there's much more than that. And these four ladies are exemplary in their walk, and they have gotten to this place not because it's been a peaceful walk in a rose garden. They have fought and clawed their way to get where they are today. And so as we saw last week with Tammy, and I know we'll see again this morning with Angela. So these themes resonate deeply, and these are big things. And so this isn't frou-frou. This isn't perfume and lace. This is the real meal deal. And so I've encouraged all four of them to just let it rip as God gives it to them. And so I know that's what Angela's going to do this morning. So come on, Angela. And we look forward to what God has put on your heart this morning. She might shed a couple of tears, but that doesn't mean she's weak.
Oh, gosh. Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for being here. I start, I guess, with the result of all this, of what my journey has about peace. And the first sentence I have is, trusting in the Lord brings you peace, because that's where I've come up from. But so when I was asked to do this about peace, my experience this year was a struggle with keeping peace, not understanding what I was going through and the result of the situation. What would that be? And I'll start with the definition that Webster gives us about peace. It's a state of mutual harmony between people or groups, especially in personal relations, cessations of or freedom from any strife or dissension, freedom from of the mind from annoyance, distraction, anxiety, silence, and stillness. In the book, Praying the Names of God, Ann Spangler tells us, "The Lord is peace, Yahweh Shalom. And shalom is a Hebrew word so much richer in its range of meanings that the English word peace, which usually refers to the absence of outward conflict or the state of inner calm, the concept of shalom includes these ideas but goes beyond them, meaning wholeness, completeness, finished word, perfection, safety, wellness. Shalom comes from living in harmony with God. The fruit of that harmony is harmony with others. Prosperity, health, satisfaction, soundness, wholeness, well-being. One of my experiences with God teaching me about peace happened about 16 years ago. It happened when my husband was getting ready to go to a NASCAR race in Richmond with his buddies. I was uneasy about it, and I kept asking questions. And if you know my husband, he listened. He answered my questions, but I think I started to get annoying to him. Finally, my husband looked straight at me saying, "Do you trust me?" When I heard that, I stopped and took a deep breath and said, "Of course I do." You see, in that deep breath, I heard God saying to my heart, "Do I trust him with my husband?" And I prayed and I asked the Lord to help me to believe in him and not listen to what ifs that could happen to fill my thoughts. And my children will laugh at this part. When my kids were younger, I worried about them, as I still do, especially when they got their driver's license. Wanting to know what their plans were, who they were hanging with, making sure they knew their curfew, all the motherly curious questions. It eased up as they got older, but it's still there. Anna says this much, which is true. I love them. But a few years later, after they got their license, my place of peace was shattered. My older son got married October of 2014. One would think that would be a joyous time. They had their good months, him and his wife, and not so good months. And those things followed them in their marriage. It's not like his father and I didn't try talking with them. But guess what? That's what I do. But it was during the good times when they decided to marry. They have been separated more than they have lived together. January of this year, they decided to try again and make a fresh start. I had hoped that this would work out. My son transferred to his job in North Carolina. It was hard for me to see him go. I cried as he left. That's what I do. But the way I felt was heaviness in my heart. He called 2 days later. His wife left again. On hearing this news, I was broken for him. Fear set in my heart. He was at a hotel that he had money enough for a week. He didn't think he could move back because, he set things up there. More fear added as I imagined him to be homeless, living in his car. I could hear the despair in his voice. I didn't know what to do. I cried so hard before the Lord, praying and crying, and it seemed for days. Not only was I emotionally hurting for him, but I started to feel pain and stiffness in my hands. I prayed and said, "God, what? I don't know why I'm crying. I don't want to cry like this anymore." And it was different than the way I've cried this morning, It was just really hard. So I said, why am I so downcast? Why am I crying like this? In my heart, I heard the Lord say. And I think he says it, not in a mean way, but the way he said it, it was like, "You are letting him go. All control you thought you had to me." I thought, "Oh, okay." So was I willing to do that, to let go and not take worry back? It could have been simple enough to do, like, okay, I'll do that. But there was something on my part that I had to do. I knew God was talking about something deeper. Not having peace in my heart was chaotic, draining, lifeless at times, not doing anything because you can't make things happen like you want it. My soul was in despair. I never experienced anything like this before. So it didn't take long for me to respond to him. But I did say, "I will give my son to you." I felt everything lifted in that moment, everything lifted away from me, the despair, the sadness, the tears, the physical pain, all gone. I was grateful. I felt joy knowing that God had this. He has my son and everything that concerns him. I was whole again. You know, I even tested it. I even tested myself. Okay, let me think about this that caused my heart to ache. Nope, it didn't affect me the same way. It was gone. I could feel it, you know, tangibly in my hands. All of that was gone. And even in the beginning of this year, I was prepared for this today. I looked back in my journals because I do write, you know, in my journal, not every day, but a lot of times. And there was an entry that reminded me of this wonderful devotion. It's in the process of trusting God and waiting for a peace. I've been reading the devotional by Sarah Young, Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence. She writes like Jesus is talking with you directly. I've highlighted this passage in January 11th. She writes, "Trust me by relinquishing control into my hands. Let go and recognize that I am God. This is my world. I made it and I control it. Yours is a responsive part in the litany of love. I search among my children for receptivity to me. Guard well this gift that I have planted in your heart. Nurture it with the light of my presence." And also in the same day of the devotion, she describes how to do this, which I love because I need help in that. She writes, "When you bring me prayer requests, lay out your concerns before me. Speak to me candidly. Pour out your heart. Then thank me for the answers that I have set into motion, but long before you can discern results. When your requests come to mind again, continue to thank me for the answers that are on the way. If you keep on stating your concerns to me, you will live in a state of tension. When you thank me for how I am answering your prayers, your mindset becomes much more positive. Thankful prayers keep your focus on my presence and my promises." I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, you know, we are given direction in the scriptures by God on what to do. And she references these things that she writes about. She puts the scripture along with it. In Psalms 46:10 in the Amplified, "Let be and be still, and know, recognize, and understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." When I read this, I hear, "Let be and be still, for goodness sakes. Quit fretting over. God's got this." You know, so something I put in my mind, you know. Colossians 4:2, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." We need to talk with Jesus all the time. Be ready and see what he is doing. Jesus gives us glimpses of what he's doing if you're looking for them. He tells us, well, the way she tells us, is that every day, you know, he is there. And the birds singing, getting up, sunshine in a certain way catches your eyes. And in little unexpected ways, whenever the one day when I practice this to tell myself, okay, you need to practice this stuff. You know, the unexpected company of my daughter and grandson coming over to the house. It was like, wow, you know, because my heart delights when they come, my kids come home, you know. So it's a treat. And, you know, God knew that was going to happen. He was going to see me get all excited about it, you know. So that was a really neat gift. In 2 Peter 1-4, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge," I underline that, "of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate," underline, "in the divine nature," underline, "and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires." You know, so we have to get knowledge of our Lord. We need to read his word. We need to spend time with him. We get to participate with him on what he's doing. In another place, Sarah Young writes, "Practice trusting me during quiet days when nothing much seems to be happening. When storms come, your trust balance will be sufficient to see you through. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven through placing your trust in me. This practice will keep you in my peace." You know, that's why I titled this, "Trust in God Brings You Peace." And by practicing this, we remember, we think back, even in those quiet times, in his presence, when you sit down and you commit this time to him, you start little, that's as I did. Just one, if it's 5 minutes, Lord, I've got 5 minutes before I have to get ready to go to work or clean the house, you know, whatever. And he said, I'm dedicating this time to you, and I want to practice remembering what you've done for me, what you've done for my kids and my family and my friends. And to reference is Matthew 6:21, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And then Isaiah 26:3-4, you will keep in perfect peace with him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. And then on 16:33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When my son found himself alone, I contacted my niece there in Durham, told her what was happening. I wasn't expecting this, but my brother-in-law and sister-in-law invited my son to move in with them. There again, God knew. They have been a great blessing to us, and my son to them as well. Our son has told us how well he is doing in his job. My heart is at peace, seeing what Jesus has done and is doing in our son. Jesus knew all along the details of my son's life. I told him that I believe that God has him there for a reason and that I have peace about it. And Jesus has plans for him. He is mapping it out for him. My son may not see it. Every change is a step closer where God wants him. I get to watch and pray. His marriage is in God's hands. This will be our story our son will share one day. Jesus proved to me that he is for me and not against me or my children. He didn't have to prove himself. He did it because he loves me. And my son, you know, teases me about, because I'm always crying when he would leave. So when we saw him a few weeks ago, we were there for my niece's baby shower. We got to stay with him. And so the night that we were leaving, he says, Mom, are you going to cry? Aren't you going to cry? And I didn't. I said, I know you're okay. I miss you, but I know you're okay. In August, my son found an apartment to rent. He works two jobs to make it happen. I can see that God is building character in my son. Now, in the Webster's definition about peace, about being still and silent, Sarah writes, the practice of being still in my presence is almost a lost art, yet it is the very stillness that enables you to experience my eternal love. You need the certainty of my loving presence to weather the storms of life. During times of severe testing, even the best theology can fail you if it isn't accompanied by experiential knowledge of me. The ultimate protection against sinking during life storms is devoting time to develop your friendship with me. The word experiential caught my attention, one, because I wasn't sure how to pronounce it, and also, what does it mean? It is relating to, derived from, or providing experience involving or based on experience and observation. Something experiential comes from the real world, from experience. Experiential things can be seen, touched, and verified. I experience God's love, his healing, his peace, his trust that what he says in his word, he will do. I treasure that experiential knowledge of God, remembering in the future when storms come what God did in this situation. Now moving forward, if God has done this here, what can he do now in this present situation? It was December 17th of 2015. In my journal, I wrote, today I start to be quiet in your presence. It's almost a year since I noted that. It doesn't come naturally, but it's something to practice. And he appreciates everything, every little step we take towards him. He loves and recognizes. And I'm learning to pray not out of desperation, but in confidence in our God who sees me and hears my prayers. Now, everything that I have mentioned here, it's something more that I have, is the prayer that went up from all of you that know me, for my son and for me, I relied on. That is what I love about this Vineyard Church, that is this people who has held me up in prayer, has got me to grow and encouraged me to be here talking to you guys. So God bless you all, and thank you. Was it 12 minutes?
I love the last thing that Angela said about it doesn't come naturally, and it's something we have to work at. And, you know, for those of you who are gym rats and, you know, you just love going to the gym and just love working out and you just have to keep watching the clock to make sure you don't stay too long, I don't understand you, because I will never be a gym rat, and I always look at the clock as well, but I'm looking, can I go home now? And, you know, but it's something you have to work at, and anything that is not natural needs to be worked at, and yet the more we work, and then this idea that I never thought of it quite that way, God loves every ounce of energy we put into spending time with him and focusing on him. If we're to come to a place of understanding that he's perfect in all his ways, it's going to mean some denial of self and getting up 5 minutes early or whatever, taking time to look in to discover him. Because this peace is right there for us. It's a gift that he has already given us. And how many times, how many hours in a week do we spend without peace? I mean, I'm just shocked at that when I think of how often I can get stressed out or frustrated or annoyed, and it's just everything's churning inside. And all the time, perfect peace is my gift. It's in me. It's been placed in there. And I just think, you know, as I've written, you know, the email and in the bulletin this morning, I just think so often it's a gift that goes unwrapped. You know, it's just, we don't look at it. We don't delve into it. We don't bathe ourselves in it so that we can go out, as I suggested, you know, go out and perfume the world with this peace that is ours. And so it's definitely at this season of the year, it's something to focus on. So I want to take some time to pray. I don't know, do we have prayer requests for us that we're going to, not this morning? All right, so as we close up this morning, are there? That's a dumb question. Of course, there are subjects of prayer that we have this morning related to peace in our hearts. Whether it's the future, whether it's health, it's finances, relationships, whether it's outside of us and it's government and world and, you know, whatever. We have subjects of prayer. And so I think it would be great for us to break into groups of 2 and 3 and let's just take some time and let's pray peace into things. Let's just maybe mention a few things as we gather together, that let's pray peace into this. And there are plenty of things we can do, but let's kind of take the next 10 minutes or so, 5-10 minutes, and let's just break into small groups and let's pray peace into specific things. Going on what Angela said, the Lord takes pleasure in every moment, every ounce of energy that we put into seeking him, seeking his peace. So let's do that. Let's get into small groups. Not necessarily with the person you came with. If you want to do that, let's just switch it up a little bit. But let's pray peace into various situations, and then I'll close this up in a few minutes. Well, we've rejoiced the Father's heart. This is what he wants us to do, focusing on him. It's so easy. It's so rewarding. And we avoid it or miss opportunities at our own peril. And so in this season, as we go from this place, let's take lots of opportunities to pray peace over situations. And every time the stuff begins to blow our way, and we all know the stuff that blows our way, to just make a determination, Lord, I'm bringing this to you, and I'm just dropping it at your feet, and we're just praying peace over the situation. Just layer it with peace. Like a nice thick coat of chocolate icing over things always makes things better. Just that's what we need to be doing all the time. And conversations in the world are not filled with peace these days. People are stressing out. There's so much that's going on that is not cause for peace, but the reverse. And so, you know, this is a real great opportunity for us to show the world and to live out what's been given to us. So let's pray together to be dismissed here this morning. And then we, as one music teacher used to say, God bless you, go in pieces. But anyway, it always got our attention. So, Father, we are so grateful to be yours this morning. Thank you for the work, this restorative work that you're doing in our hearts. And thank you, as Angela has underlined for us, it is experiential. It's not just something we talk about. It's not just for theologians. It's not just stuff we put on banners. It's something we live in. And you're here to do that for us. And our world is waiting. Well, we can turn the lights on as we live out the reality of the gifts that you have given to us. So for this Advent season, moving towards Christmas in 2016, as the world is in darkness and despair, could we be those who manifestly march to the beat of a different drummer? That we have something that the world is looking for, and that we have the confidence that you are the one the world is looking for. Far more than just the little expression, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's so much more than that. Because that doesn't touch people where they really live. Help us to be touched where it really matters to us, and help us to touch others where it really matters to them. Could your name be glorified through each one of us who's been in your presence here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.